Need to be reminded of that many, many times because we're going to have feelings all over the place. I'll come back into that a bit more detail. In the early 19th century, A.B. Simpson, he came up against a concept of people running after the Holy Spirit for tongues. And what he did was he wanted to think about theologically where he felt tongues sat in regards to a believer's life. And he came up to the conclusion, which is, if you speak in tongues, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't need to be there to prove that you are saved. And what he did was he came up with this phrase which said, seek not, deny not. And he basically was trying to implore people to go, you don't need to go running after some sort of spiritual high in favor of the truth of the gospel. But if the Holy Spirit gifts you with tongues, do not reject that. Allow him to work through you in that way. Because what he was seeing were people were reacting via feeling, not being informed theologically. And I just want to try and explain a concept which has helped me a great deal about who the Holy Spirit is. I'm just going to do it via a photo. So I'll show you a photo here first, and then I'll put it up bigger. Like the photo? There we go. There's a photo. I'll now ask her. I'll click. There we go. Let's see. There we go. Excellent, isn't it? So, since we've got it up there now, I don't have to do that one. Just by a show of hands before I move on, when you're looking at that photo, honestly, how many of you are looking at my hands? Any of you? Or were you all looking at the photo? Yeah? No. Not there. Look, these. Were you looking at these as I was holding them? No, it never occurred to you, did you? The Holy Spirit, he's not there to promote himself. He's there to raise, in this case, the picture of Jesus Christ. So if you imagine we had some sort of form of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's job is to present Jesus Christ. And so we look into Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we see the Father. The Holy Spirit is not jealous. He's not wanting to take away. In fact, he is most expressed when we are looking towards our Savior Jesus. And that's who all of us should be seeing. And I just like it as an image of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit lifts us to see the image of our Savior. And when we experience our Savior in our lives, we understand the Father. Okay, so I'll come back to that. But since I have this photo up, and since we have a great talent in Karina in our thing, she didn't want to actually have this promoted, but Karina runs a photography business, and this is one of her students' works, which I hope she hired. Just thought I'd promote, and just to give you this four more. We'll just go one. That's the family. Two. Three, four, particularly like this one. Look at that. And back to ours again. There we go. And we can move on from there just into the blue screen. Thank you. There you go. It's good to have skills recognized when you can. I apologize to all of those people listening on, and I can't see any of that. Never mind. So the first thing is to realize the Holy Spirit's role is to promote Jesus Christ. And we as believers should not get sucked into an emotional response to the works of the Holy Spirit and the glory of seeing the kingdom of God come around over and above our faith, saying we have made a choice for this. Because that's what happens here when Paul and Barnabas go in and start preaching and they heal somebody. And everybody goes, it's amazing. It's incredible. This is obviously the gods come down. And they speak in their own language, and they speak about a way that they know, and they attribute it to Zeus and his the person who speaks for Zeus. So that's what they call Paul. And they start to worship, and they start to bring all these things, celebrating. And the priests of Zeus, hey, why not? It's going to promote them. They start saying, this is obviously what's going on. Until, of course, Paul and Barnabas realize. And then very courageously, going into a crowd, which is just going wild for them, and saying, you're wrong. It's not about that. And then very quickly, we find some Jews come and start turning the crowd against them. And just like Jesus experiences with his death and resurrection, that his popularity is very high at this point, and then suddenly it only takes a few days later and it's gone. Paul and Barnabas have preached, and people apparently have really received God. But then the truth is demonstrated, they haven't. And they turn against him to the point of stoning him. They take him outside and stone him. I'd like to put forward that the real miracle here isn't necessarily just this person being healed. It's the fact he survives a stoning. And he gets himself back up and he walks back in. I want you to remember that as we come towards the end of things, as he walks back in and goes and talks again. And then he goes back along the route that he had taken, back to all the places we've mentioned previously over the past few weeks, goes back strengthening the disciples that he'd found and said, this is what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Before finally going back to the original Antioch. Remember, there's loads of Antiochs all over the place. Just confuse us. Going back to the original Antioch, the cradle, as I described it, the cradle of Christianity, goes back there where he had been sent from many months beforehand, completing his first missionary journey to give an update about how the Lord had spoken. We see in this particular chapter emotional response trumping genuine faith. And one of the best bits of advice I was ever given when I was a new believer, a gentleman came to me and said, you've got to understand, Christianity is a choice. It is not a feeling. Because some days, you're going to feel great. You're going to have a really good time. I was just sitting down there. I was nearly crying watching people serving communion because I was so excited about seeing people using their gifts, demonstrating who Christ is, speaking wonderfully of him. Why wouldn't we be excited? But I can't base my life on that feeling. Because when things aren't going well and things are tough, and there might be bad things going on in your family, you can't then just go, well, I'm not feeling it, and so I'm tossing it out. We've made a choice. We have made a choice, if we believe in Jesus Christ, to say that we are presenting our lives before him, surrendered, accepting the fact that he will forgive our sins, and therefore his Holy Spirit will guide us, and we are now part of his kingdom. We're not doing it conditionally. We're not saying we're doing it on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays because we feel good. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're pretty down. We're not bothering. What we demonstrate in our life is when I was using that illustration of using boundaries to create a dam. Every time we surrender ourselves and say, we are going to learn what God would have us do with our life, how we should act. Not just the theology in our brain, but how it's actually carried out. Every time we put one of God's boundaries in place, which allows us the freedom of true living, we demonstrate that choice in action. We're not just running after the next high or the next feeling. We're prepared to say, this is the way that God says we should live, and I'm prepared to go through the hard yards of making that living happen. So the third part I want to talk about is Paul. Paul, having faced death, shows great courage and boldly speaks to those who wish to hear. He strengthens them as he returns to complete his first mission trip. What you discover with Paul as you read his writings is Paul has balanced his whole life in who he is inside of Christ. Just want to throw a quote up. Scott, can you give me the next slide? Thanks. We may not preach a crucified Savior without being also crucified men and women. It is not enough to wear an ornamental cross as a pretty decoration. The cross that Paul speaks about was burned into his very flesh, was branded into his being, and only the Holy Spirit can burn the true cross into our innermost life. If we genuinely want to talk to people about the kingdom of God, and we genuinely want to say and have opportunities speaking to people's lives to say, this is what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to understand that you and I need to be as crucified to the Holy Spirit's guidance as Jesus Christ was. We need to understand that there will be pain and suffering coming our way because we're prepared to identify with the living Savior. We need to be prepared to understand that only by doing that can we truly see the kingdom come in our life. And only if we've got the kingdom coming in our life can we show it to other people. Paul stands up. He's just been empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal a person. That person who couldn't walk can now walk. They all laud him as a god. He has the wisdom and humility to say, no, I'm not that. And then, therefore, their response is to take him outside and stone him. You really can't get much more clear about what happens in life. And then he dusts himself down and he goes back in. Because Paul has got a crucified life. Because he realized the depth of his sin and how much he had been forgiven. And then the task which was put ahead of him by the Lord to say, you will go to the Gentiles and this is what you will suffer. And this is just one of the things he suffers. So if that is the case for him, why should it be any different for you and I? Now, I'm not saying Paul goes looking for it. And I don't think you and I should either. But we should expect it. We should expect it based on the understanding that we have made the choice to become believers in Jesus Christ. And I want you to continually reflect on that to say, what does that choice mean to me in my life? What will I watch or not watch? What will I spend my finances on or not support? What will I do with my time and who I be with or choose not to be with? Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying don't go around non-believers, the exact opposite. But choose to do it for the right reasons. Not they make me feel good, but this is where the Lord would have me. We cannot expect other people to come to know Jesus Christ and know the kingdom of God unless we first have been willing to surrender ourselves, be crucified as Jesus Christ was to the kingdom of God. I don't mean we're going to physically be nailed, but it does mean we give everything we've got. Acts 14 demonstrates an amazing ability of Paul showing his faith is a commitment over and above a feeling. It gives a challenge to show that many people we will come up against will do the exact opposite. But it's up to you and I now to say that we're willing to surrender ourselves. So I'm just going to pray. If you're of a mind to join in with this in your mind, please do so. But challenge yourself this week and say, how am I crucifying myself as the Lord would have me? Jesus Christ, we are your children. And we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Lead us, Lord, so we can see your life coming through ours. And so we're going to bring ourselves now before you. And there may be parts of our lives. Each individual person here will know what they are. And if those parts of our life need to be brought before your throne and handed over, I ask, Lord, that you give us the faith and the ability to do so. So, Lord, we are asking to be surrendered properly. We are asking to be crucified. Father, that takes courage. And so I ask, Lord, allow us to have that courage. Allow us to make the choice to see your kingdom of God coming, so we may glorify the name of Jesus Christ and through him see the Father. Amen. Thank you.